just a bit of a recap. Where are we? Where are we trying to go? And I know that we have to keep repeating things because things stick as we're repeating them. And we're doing this series called Come, okay? And we've done Come and See. We're right in the middle of Come and Learn, that we're all wanting to grow, mature, become more like Jesus. Then we're going to move into, not quite sure when, but Come and Trust, and then Come and Abide, make your home in Jesus, Come and Love, and Come and Die for Jesus. And then all of this, our lives are being given away. And that's what life's about. It's not just about yourself. In all of these stages, your life's been given away for the glory of God. And that's what this is all about. And so I'm ready to, you know, we are praying that this is landing on soft hearts, on fertile soil, that you're pondering, that you're thinking. Every small group is around this. There are quiet times that are being sent out on a Sunday night. Go through it all. Prepare your hearts. Pray about it. Answer the questions for yourself. Pray, mature, ponder, think, meditate, everything. Go to Scripture, and that's what's going to keep changing us. Last week, we looked into just a recap here, and Uli, you can press those. It's to come and learn is we need folk in our lives, and we need mentorship. We need people that are looking after us spiritually, people that are speaking into our lives spiritually, and that we are also being matured to speak into someone else's life. So it's both ways. It's not just, hey, you receiving, but we maturing so that you can give. And why mentorship is essential for spiritual maturity, we looked at a lot of scriptures on that. How mentorship works in God's plan, again, we looked at a lot of scriptures on that. And then what mentorship produces in us, it produces this abundant fruit if we're applying it God's way. This morning, we're going to be looking at something else. And we're going to be looking through, and I believe this is so, so important for our spiritual growth, because we're going to be looking at how do we come and learn from Jesus through grace. Through grace. And so this is so, so important. You know, if you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the Gospels, all the writings thereafter, the thing that's preached about most is love, and then after that is grace. And just sort of greeting each other with grace, living a life of grace. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Uli, I'm not sure what the next slide is that we produced here, but that grace is something, believe it or not, that matures us, that grows us. I'm not sure if you've ever looked at grace through a lens of, actually, it's the grace of God that is maturing me and helping me to grow. I am on my own journey with this. I have most certainly not arrived. I'm still trying to learn and understand what God's grace is in my own life. And I feel at times I'm ahead, at times I'm sitting at folks' feet, I'm sitting at God's word, you know, and trying to absorb and really understand it. And through the lens of that, grace is maturing and growing us. When you think about grace, what comes to mind for you personally? And yeah, here are just a few questions that I'm throwing out. Is grace some sort of intellectual thing that you've heard about? Or when you think about grace, does it really humble you? What does grace lead to in your heart? What is grace producing inside of you, inside of me? Do you stop and think about grace that is offered to you? And how is that working inside your life? Where would your Christianity be without grace? Where would it be? And how do you even, when you think about grace, what does grace mean for you? Do you see grace in growing and maturing and transforming you? None of us should be just staying at the same place. Oh, you become a Christian through God's grace, therefore I am saved, therefore I can live my life. That's not what it's about. That's part of it, but it's not what it's about. It's something that is maturing and changing us. It's something that I've been really thinking about for the last 4 or 5 years, is how is grace used to mature and change us? This last week, every year I try and start the year off with a spiritual retreat. And I'm trying to put these things into practice. I've most probably been doing it for about 10 years now. And where I go into a very remote area and I'm looking for quietness. I'm looking for not many human beings being around me. And I'm looking for times of prayer, like extended times. And the focus is for my own heart, to read scripture, but not just read scripture, but are scriptures transforming me, and am I hearing from Jesus? To be praying about myself and my own walk with God, but to also be praying for the church. And as I was sitting out there in nature and in plantations and forests, where I'd go out and just be with God and actually not see anyone, no one goes there, on your own. You know, you can really still yourself down and hear a lot clearly. And so this morning, I'm not even sure how far I'm going to get, because when I study out stuff, it pours out, and I could preach many sermons on it. But one thing I'm trying to help you to do is, don't just take my sermon here. I cannot do justice to this and go and read the verses all around it. Otherwise, I'll be sticking on one verse this morning. So I'm trying to take out key verses on grace and trying to build it. And it's your job to take this, which you'll get this evening, and go and study it out and make it pertinent for yourself. And what is God trying to tell you? And with that, let's open up with a prayer. Father, I do thank you for this morning. There was a joy inside of me to wake up and know that it's Sunday, that I can be in this fellowship, that I can hug and greet, and it's already been very rich for my soul in the conversations that I've had this morning, and I'm so grateful for that, and that is part of your grace. Part of my heart is yearning for that. The other part of my heart is sad. And I do put Lisa's mum before you. And pray for her. And you come back from a prayer retreat and you're back into life. And life has highs and life has extreme lows. And that's life. And we just put her before you, God. We don't know what's going on. And she's in hospital and not doing well. But help me to focus this morning on you, what you want me to say through your word. And do pray that your word is not going to return empty. But the expectation from your word is that it's going to fill us and transform us and do something in each person's heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I've got a couple of points this morning, more than a couple. So a couple is two or three. This is a lot of points, but it's a point form sermon, because you can't just hit grace from one angle. You actually have to understand the whole of grace. Because if you're just pushing it from one angle, you're not going to understand really what it's about. And right in the middle of the sermon is a illustration that will help you to understand, that's helping me to understand what grace is. And my first point this morning, grace is a gift. And it's not something that's achieved. And the book of Ephesians, Paul puts such, it's so amazing here, and you'll see the scripture coming up in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, but you have to go and read this in context, guys. And it says, for the grace you have, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. And you have to go and read that in context and read the verse that comes after that about works, but I'm focusing on this part here. Grace is an absolute gift from God. Every one of us here that has been baptized into Christ studied God's word. And it was by the grace of God that someone reached out to you, opened up scripture with you, and showed you the scripture. And my point with that is this. Grace is God doing something in you and for you that you cannot do for yourself. And baptism is not a works. It's not a works. It's God doing something inside you that you cannot do for yourself. You cannot go and have your sins forgiven by yourself. That's a gift from God. And so it's by grace that you are being saved. And as you went under the water, the word of God says, your past, your present, and your future sins are somehow being washed away. And that's the word of God saying that. And you're receiving the gift of his spirit. And that's what God does that we cannot do for ourselves. And so when you're looking at it through that lens, it's no works can save you. It's obedience to God's word. It's following God's word. But it's obedience because you're going to belong. It's obedience because you're going to have this incredible relationship. It's obedience that God is giving so much to you that you cannot give to yourself. And that's the grace that is saving us. And I think God gives us this choice and this invitation to each one of us. And then it's for us to respond to God's grace. The second point this morning is God's grace trains us to live differently. Because of God's grace, our lives are different. Titus chapter 2. Again, please go and read this all in context. But this is so incredible. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. I introduced a sermon where I said grace matures and we learn from grace and we transformed by grace. So what stands out for you in scripture? It teaches us to say no. What does the word teach mean? You know, you go to school and you are taught things. Okay, that's a simplistic word. You are taught things. You are there to grow. You are there to learn. You are there to put into practice. You are there to be stretched. It teaches you something. So the point is that grace is transforming us if we're looking through the right lens. And that's the power of God's grace, so that your life can live a different life. That you don't want to be the same person, but your life is living a different life. Are you more attracted to worldly success or to godly character and godliness inside of you? Have you looked at God's grace through this lens that it's the grace of God that is teaching, that is maturing, and that is transforming us? Grace is not a license to sin so that grace can increase. Not at all. That's not what the scripture is saying. It's saying that it matures, it transforms us, that we can live a different life. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, but he lived the Sermon on the Mount. It was a different life. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves, if God is calling us to a different life, and this is how practical the Word of God is in our lives, how different is your life to the people that you work with? And I'll leave that with you. How different is your life to the people that you work with? It's training us to be different. And there's so much there. The third point is grace makes us who we are. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, what lens are you reading that through? Like, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You can read that through a lens of like, well, by the grace of God, I am what I am, I just can't change. Or it's like, by the grace of God, I am what I am because of Jesus. I am transformed. And that's by the grace of God. And, you know, it's this amazing grace that is changing us, that's calling us to repentance, that's calling us to forgiveness, that's calling us to a new creation. Every one of us in this room, and this room here, the people in this room, you are so uniquely made. You are beautiful. You are gifted. You've got abilities. You've got strengths that maybe someone else in this room has not got. And it's by the grace of God you are who you are. And if you're looking at that through that lens, it's only through God's grace that I am who I am, and I can use what God's given me totally for his glory. And as we're allowing God's word to sort of work through us, it's like, oh my goodness, maybe there's a light bulb going on inside of you. Everything that God's blessed me with is totally for him, and it's for the glory of God. The fourth point is grace is sufficient in weakness. It's sufficient in weakness. And here Paul is speaking again, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How sufficient is sufficient? How sufficient is sufficient? My grace is sufficient for you. What more do you need? What more are you looking for? Because my grace is sufficient. And, you know, sufficient. It's, you know, we can look at life through the lens of like, well, man, what is sufficient? What is sufficient money that we need? What is sufficient clothing that we need? What is sufficient amount of shoes that we need? What is sufficient food that we need? What is sufficient family? All these things. God's grace is sufficient for you. And yet, where we're lacking so much, I can easily get myself into a mindset of I lack this, or I lack that, or I need this, or I want this. Very easily. Because I'm surrounded by it. It's the way of the world. You are judged by your success. You are judged by what you have. And it's a lot of it is outward appearance. And that's the way the world is. You accepted with this. You accepted with that. My grace is sufficient for you. This is very challenging. I'm like challenged standing up here. Even reading these scriptures. It's extremely challenging. What weakness have you got that you wish you didn't have? And I'm not saying sin. What weakness have you got that you wish you didn't have? I've got a weakness that, man, I've been praying to God for years and it's never gone. From a young boy. And I've always thought that there's something wrong with me. Because I'm not like the rest of folk. And I put it before God, but it's a thorn that's there. That God won't take away. Well, he can, but he wants me to have the thorn. And that weakness is stuttering. And I put it before God numerous times, my whole life. And it was so uncanny that God wants me to be a preacher because I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to do it. You've made a mistake. Rather put the person up that can talk, not the person in weakness. There's certain words I cannot say without stuttering. There's certain passages in God's word I cannot read that I don't preach on because I stutter. You don't know what a stutterer has to work through and how far ahead they have to be with their speech. And most people in luxury just speak and it flows. What weakness have you got? And God sometimes wants us to have that weakness because it humbles us. And my weakness humbles me. At times I can't even say my own name without stuttering. And it humbles you. And God says, this is exactly where I want you to be. Because my power, that weakness will stay with you. As you're reading scripture, you have to allow it to sink in. And that is God's grace sufficient for you. You're missing the point when you're focusing on your weakness without the power of God. And just allowing these scriptures to sink into our hearts. The fifth point is grace and truth come from Jesus. A few weeks ago, we studied out John 1. And it's so important where grace comes from because it comes from Jesus. And in verse 16 and 17, the word of God says, from the fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus. And God is teaching me to engage more of Jesus so that I can understand his grace. And the more you and I are engaging Jesus through his word, through prayer, through many aspects of our life, you know, we're going to be holding on to, you know, God, Jesus's grace. It's not our willpower that's going to change us. It's going to be Jesus you engage in Christ, that is going to transform you. Your willpower of wanting to change will get you so far. But if you're humbly sitting at the cross of Christ and you're putting things before him and allowing him to engage in your life as you're engaging in his life and you're receiving from God, it's powerful. And maybe some of us battle to connect with God. And I can understand that. That you battle to connect with God. The thing that's helped me a lot in the last few years with connecting with God is meditating. Where I take a scripture and I meditate on that scripture. And I read that scripture and I read that scripture. And I ask God questions. What do you want me to receive from this? God, what do you want me to hear from you because of the scripture in my life? And that helps me to be real and it helps me to connect with God. Another thing that helps me to grow in my relationship with God and see the goodness of God is appreciation. Being thankful and writing down the things that you're thankful for, because those things that you're thankful for should lead us to the goodness of who God is in our lives. And there are things that help you to connect with God. Hold on to those things. Jesus is full of truth and full of grace. I think one of the best analogies of how grace works that relates and that's helped me so much, and that is a relationship between good parents and children. And listen up here. Parents have all the resources for their children. And what I mean in that is that a child needs to come and participate with his parents in every way so that they can receive those resources. For example, if a child is hungry, a child needs to go to mom and dad and say that they're hungry. And mom and dad will say, this is what we've got for you to eat. And the child needs to be grateful and the child needs to receive. And the child can eat that food. When that young boy scrapes his knee, he runs to his parents and he participates in his parents for them to clean the wound so that that sore can heal. When a child is sick, the mom gives that child medication and that child takes that medication and that child is participating with his or her mom. When a child breaks something and he breaks something, he runs to dad and dad helps him repair it. And there are many other ways that a mom and dad are modeling their life and engaging their life with their children. Principles on fairness, forgiveness, love, being honest, not lying. Asking when you're struggling and welcoming that child to ask. And you take that whole life, all of these things are examples of grace in that child's life. And that child can mature and grow through that grace. In a similar way, you and I need to be engaging God, because God's got all the resources that he's given to us. The Lord is my shepherd, you lack nothing. I lack nothing, but I lack so much. Oh God, I'm going to argue with you about that. No, you lack nothing. Ephesians speaks about you got all the resources there. And we have to be engaging God with our struggles, our doubts, our sin, our lack of love, our self-righteousness. Everything, you're engaging God with that so that you can receive from God. And that's what a walk with Jesus is. You've got the Word of God. You've got all of these things. It's not just reading and praying. It's engaging with God with everything. And that's what your life becomes. When you engage God and participate with God, you will start to see spiritual growth is actually a work of grace. It's a work of grace. And it's through that participation and that engaging, just the way that a child in a healthy environment is being raised up. And so think about that for your own life. That's the transformation. That's the church we're trying to build. That's what it's about. It's meaty, it's deep. Why do you think Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, you don't receive because you didn't ask? Maybe look at that through this lens. And I'm not saying receiving just what you want. It's like going to God with everything so that you can receive from God, because our God is an abundant God. He wants to give when you are putting out your heart like that. He's going to teach you forgiveness when you're going to God and you tell God openly, I am battling to forgive. Where does that come from? That comes from the grace of God. That's what it's about. It's engaging, a lack of love. You're engaging God with that, and you're participating with God, with Scripture, with everything, and God does the maturing and the transforming. Point number six, we can approach God with confidence because of grace. This is what Brian read this morning. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. That you're engaging this throne with confidence. That it's going to mature you. It's going to transform you. It's not all upon you. You are linking up with God in it all. Like a child needs to participate with the parents. And that's the beauty of God's Scripture and living it out. Do you see grace, the grace of God working in your hearts and your lives? Do you see God up to something in your life that you cannot do for yourself because you are connecting with Him? Point number seven, grace rules in our lives instead of sin. Romans 6 verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And there's such a misconception in the religious world. And that misconception is this, that grace is a soft message on sin. Grace is the message on sin. It's not softening it. It's not like we folk walk around, oh, by the grace of God, you know, God's grace is going to cover that, and God's grace is going to cover that, and God's grace is just going to cover that. Or you're missing out what grace is, because the Word of God says, if you deliberately keep on sinning against me, you're standing on my grace. So that's not the lens to look at it through. It's like, well, when you're under and you're living by grace, your heart is not wanting to sin. Because grace works so closely with your greatest mentor, and your greatest mentor is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is talking to you. No, don't do that. Stop that. This is not good for you. You got those promptings that are happening in your life. Don't press that on your computer. It's not going to be good for you. That's the Holy Spirit working within you. And holding on to this. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. And grace is just like, wow, it leads you to repentance. It's like, man, I want to change this in my life. I'm walking with this with God. We're coming to learn from Jesus. And point number 8, I think this could be the last point here, before some practicals. Grace helps us to come close to God. In James 4, and I would love to read from verse 1 to 8, and I've got this down here, but I don't have time, and I'm putting this onto you to go and read. But he gives more grace. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Andrew's going to be speaking next Sunday, a posture of humility and what pride is. Because if we want to learn to become more like Jesus, we have to recognize that God opposes the proud. And what is pride in our lives? But he's giving, he's not just giving, he's giving grace to the humble. So there's something in there. Wow. And humble people extend grace to others. And that's a key point in all of this. You want forgiveness from God? Well, we have to forgive someone else who's got a shortcoming. You want the grace from God? Wow. I wasn't very gracious to my wife there, but I want that grace from her towards me. But the way I spoke there wasn't very gracious, wasn't very kind, wasn't very like Jesus. Oh, I pointed all this stuff out at the workplace, and I've made my point, and I want them to listen. But are you extending grace on folk also that have got shortcomings, just like we've got shortcomings? And we've all got sin. And that's why we're coming before God. God, help me. Help me with this. So I want to close this morning. I've got a couple of minutes here. Why is it so difficult to understand and live by grace? So I want you to think about that. Why is it so difficult to live and understand grace? Because we're naturally wired for earning and not receiving. That's the way of the world. Surely I need to do something to achieve that. Surely I need to qualify myself, and therefore, I'm going to achieve that. And we're so naturally wired like that, and we raise our children like that. And man, you're going to have to get a job one day. And if you don't work hard, and if you don't do this, and if you're not putting in this, and it's all true. You can't be lazy. But we are so naturally wired this way. And we read it in God's word, but then we like, push the word of God aside, and we go back to the ways that we wired in. Grace feels too good to be true. Yeah, it's great to preach this stuff at church, but I arrive at work on Monday, and it's all about performance. It's all about achievement. It's all about responsibility. It's all about consequences of your life. And what I'm trying to build here is, in the weeks ahead, I know we've got Andrew next week, then we've got Women's Day after that, but then I'm going to go into the cycle of grace compared to the cycle of works. And I'm putting a question before you is, why Jesus didn't burn out? And don't come with the answer because he was the Son of God. That's like, yeah. He was human. Why didn't he burn out? That's a good answer, but there's more to it than that. Grace feels too good to be true because grace is so opposite to these things. It's so opposite to the world that we live in. We confuse grace with lowering of God's standard, which I spoke about this morning. It's like, well, bro, if you're just going to speak about God's grace, you're going to just see the sin just creep into the church. And you can have a church that's lazy and just full of sin. And I really believe it's so opposite. The more you understand God's grace, the more you're motivated to hold on to God's grace because our lives are nothing. And we're here because of the grace of God. And you give because of the grace of God. You work hard because of the grace of God. You're saved by grace to do good works that God's prepared in advance for you to do. And you are recognizing these things. And you're holding so deep to these things. It motivates you from within. Grace, shame makes grace hard to accept. Many people following Jesus struggle with this. I don't deserve forgiveness. God is tired of me. God can't put up with me anymore. I'm just not connecting here. I know he's just looking down on me. And shame takes over our lives. Come as you are. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace exposes our neediness. And this is a big one. When you stop and you ponder and you think about it, to receive God's grace, you have to admit that you cannot heal yourself. You can't save yourself. And you really can't change yourself. And you're like, whoa, what about all these other scriptures? Put it all together. Make every effort. Yes. Put it all together. Put it all together. There's tension also in God's word. But think about these things. And that's why you have to go to the throne of God. Not in confidence in yourself, but in confidence that God's going to do his work that you cannot do. We often slip back into law-based thinking. Very easy to. A lot easier to live like the Pharisees. Because once you've got the 650 laws, you can live by them. It's hard to think about all of them. But it's, you know, now Jesus has come with this new teaching. We often slip back into law-based thinking, from relationship back to rules, from trust back to self-effort, from identity back to insecurity. And the book of Galatians speaks all about that. And that's why we need each other. We need mentorship. We need people in our lives, not to control us, but that you open about what's going on inside, that you can grow, that people can open up scriptures, that we can pray together, we can help each other, and that you can grow so you can help the next person, and we can multiply God's kingdom through that, through his grace. That's what it's all about. But grace also requires ongoing surrender. Grace is not just a theology, it's a lifestyle of relying on God daily. And that means letting go of control, which is so difficult to do in every area of our lives, releasing our performance, trusting God's timing, embracing weakness. This goes against every instinct of self-sufficiency, every instinct. And this is the relationship and this is the trust that God wants us to have. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning. I know that there's a lot there. Speak to your family group leader tonight. When I get home, I will send out the small group discussion points. They can pass it on to you, and you can, if you want to tonight, go and sit with God and study this all out and read it in context. And when you come to your small group, you can talk about your own heart, and you're so much further along the journey.